You know, there's a place called Las Vegas. It's called Sin City, one of the Sodom and Gomorrah locations. And, you know, it's pretty amazing because we were born in the Sodom and Gomorrah world. Our enemies are ourself, of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. But God has given us a way, and he makes a way. One of the things about Las Vegas is because they have gambling and things to that degree. And again, the world is a Las Vegas, ruled by Satan, ruled by Satan's kingdom. And in this, when you go to Las Vegas, the odds are against you. Amen? It's against all odds in there. And it's against all odds living in this world for me and you. The only one that can even the odds is Jesus. And I don't mean in Las Vegas, okay? I mean in this world. That's just an example. We are, it's against all odds is tonight's teaching. We run, we get in positions where it seems like it's against all odds. There's just no way out. And in these positions that it's against all odds, God always makes a way. And he promises us that. The problem is people don't wait for the way out. They try to get out on their own. Against all odds. See, when God evens the odds, he gets the glory. Amen. Would you turn to Psalm 34 and verse 15? See, the world is kind of freaking out, afraid of World War III and all kinds of stuff, because the word is telling us that there'll be times of wars and rumors of wars while we're in it. We're watching Israel and Iran battle. We're watching all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, there's wars all over the world. And it seems like it's against all odds for humanity. That's why Jesus needs to step in to even the odds. I mean, you got all these crazy religious maniacs out there. They cover themselves up because they don't want to be known. And they hide behind their veils of corruption. And their whole purpose is control. But they don't realize that they're being controlled by the powers of darkness. And the odds are against them. They're going to lose the battle no matter how many battles they've won. The end result is they lose. Until Jesus comes in and evens the odds. In Psalm 34, in verse 15, let's speak it together. Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such that have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions, against all odds, hello, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. All. Don't lose sight of this scripture, because the odds are against you. But God will deliver you out of every circumstance as you wait on him. He guards all of his bones. None of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. So they're going to destroy each other, which they are right now. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. What victory. We didn't do anything. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be what? Condemned. That's against all odds. Only God can even the score, no matter what's going on. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. Against all odds. Against all odds, but the glory is going to be revealed in us. Because why? God evened the score. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's us. Against all odds. Would you ever think that corruption and the dismantlement of evil will be delivered to me and you? God evens the score. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Do we need perseverance? Do we need endurance? Yeah, we don't give up. We press in. We press forward. We don't look back. We continue. We know that everything's going to work to the good, don't we? Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who what? Love God, to those who are called according to purpose. His purpose. Why? Because all the odds are against us, but when Christ is in us, he always evens the score. He makes the way. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Again, everything's going to work to the good against all the odds. Against all the odds. See, being born in this world, we were against all odds, man. Nothing was going to work for us. Everything that we've tried usually failed. And the worst thing you can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. And that's where many people have gone to, successful in the wrong assignment. In Ephesians chapter 2. So no matter what's going on, sometimes it seems like all the odds are against you. There just doesn't seem like there's a way out. But I'm telling you, there always is. God always evens the score. Amen? Ephesians 2:1. And you were made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, against all odds. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, by his plan you have been saved, through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this grace, which is God's plan, is God evening the score. Amen? So you got to follow the plan for the score to be even, or odds are going to be against you all the time. I mean, they always are, but you won't have victory without following the plan. For we are as what? Okay. We are as what? Workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. That means we should walk in his plan. Why? That's what evens the score. Amen? That's what evens the score. It's not when you're not walking in his plan, the odds are against you. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost bookie. Psalm 40, verse 1. I what? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Whoa. Against all odds, you'll be a sign and wonder. Against all odds, you will be a sign and wonder. As long as you what? Follow the plan. Mark 5, verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in a crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothing, he can even the score. I shall be what? Made whole. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of all the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Against all odds in healing. You know, many people are waiting for healings. But I'm telling you, if you follow the plan, God evens the score. Healing is available. I've been healed multiple times. But there's an area, you know, where praise and worship is. It's God's presence. See, what did she do? She pressed through. The odds were against her. She was crawling on her hands and knees through a crowd, kicked, stepped on. But she said, I'm going to even the score. And only Jesus can do it. And I know that when I touch him, this sickness that's been plaguing me by the enemy will be removed. Because Jesus will even the score for me. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we have seen Jesus even the score in so many parts of our life. This house that we were in was foreclosed on. This house right here. Yeah, but we're having Bible studies in it. It had a $10,000 lien on it. It was six payments behind in mortgage. But the voice of God spoke to me and told me to do something, and I obeyed. And I got a call from the people of the mortgage, and they said, you know what, we don't understand this, but they decided to buy back your mortgage, pay off everything, and give it back to you at a cheaper interest rate. And I said, and they said, we don't know how this happened or who or what. I said, his name is Jesus, because all odds were against me. It was already done. But Jesus evened the score. If he can, look at, I was divorced for 3 years from my wife. But when Jesus stepped in, and his plan began to get released, all odds were against us to be reconciled. But as I began to submit to God, he said, go get her. And she was in New Mexico. Of course, I got off the plane. She thought I was an alien. But Jesus evened the score and restored us for a gazillion years. Think about that. Jesus always evens the score no matter what. If you just go and follow the plan is to escape and change the odds that are against you. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Zeruel, the son of Maathiah, and a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great battle, for the battle is not yours. There was a great battle. There was no way that they were going to win. The odds were against them. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jorel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. To position yourself means to follow the plan. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. What were they doing? Worshiping. Then the Levites and the children of the Korahites and all the children of the Korahites and stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a voice loud and high. What were they doing? Praising. They were worshiping him. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall what? Prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should shout, who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, now they went out before the army, not behind the army. Why? Because the presence of God evens the score. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and praise the Lord, The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to do what? They destroyed one another. Talk about confusion in enemy's camp. I love it. God evened the score. There was no way that they were going to win this battle. So God sent the worship team before the army. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Hallelujah. Odds were against them. But this, because they obeyed the plan, the Lord not only blessed them, destroyed their enemies, and released the financial blessings to them. Think about this. They were there 3 days gathering all the spoil, the jewels, the gold, the silver, the armory. 3 days. Can you imagine 3 days of gathering, finding the treasure, and their whole army and all their people were there 3 days gathering it? That's a lot. That's a lot. But the odds were against them. And then what happened afterwards? Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you here in a minute. Is everybody there? Okay, what verse are we on now? Oh. 26, and on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barach. For there they blessed the Lord, and therefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Barach until today. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with string instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave them what? Rest all around. Oh, snap. The odds were against them until Jesus stepped in and evened the score. And that, what did they have to do? They had to obey what was told to them by the prophet. The prophet was releasing the plan of God. What was the plan? Praise, worship, the battle belongs to the Lord. Praise, worship, the battle belongs to the Lord. Say it with me. Praise, worship, the battle belongs to the Lord. It's amazing how many people still don't get it. They still don't get it. They're still trying to fight physically when the battle is spiritual. As you fight spiritually, the presence of God comes and he evens the score. You know, again, I had a mandatory prison term, 4 years. The Lord told me, I'll be your attorney. I said, okay. Of course, there were some things I wanted to say. He said, keep your mouth quiet when I went into the courtroom. I wanted to tell the judge it wasn't me, but it was me. But I was a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away, all things become new. And I had a mandatory minimum 4 years to do because it was my second bust. The judge looked at me and he read a letter from Kate, my ex-wife at the time. And he said, probation. Of course, the prosecuting people didn't like that. And he said, probation. So I walked out of that courtroom and I did 2 years of probation. And I had favor with a probation officer who was spirit-filled. And we just talked about Jesus every time I went to go see him. So again, the odds were against me. I was guilty as could be. I got busted in the act, arrested in a stretch limo, guns, dope. Mandatory minimum 4 years. But when Jesus stepped in, he evened the score. Man, I could go on and on and on. I ought to write a book about that. 2 Kings 6 and verse 11, please. Hallelujah. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." I love it. Prophetic insight. And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his servant's eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Now think about this. Are they around me and you? So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elijah said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Now check that out. The odds were against them, weren't they? But Elisha knew, but the servant didn't know. He knew that there was an army of chariots of fire all around him. But he didn't want to kill them. What did he do? He fed them. He loved on them. They thought this guy was nuts. Why didn't he kill us? But they didn't. And the king obeyed the servant of the Lord because that's what God told him to do. And when that happened, they feasted. They went back to their master, and they didn't bother them no more. They could have killed them all, but war would have continued. That's too bad we couldn't go into Iran and feed everybody. It's not the people. It's the leaders. That's the problem. But they're not following God's plan. They're following Satan's plan. And it's causing destruction everywhere. That's what you're seeing all over the world. Satan's plan, not God's plan. God's plan brings peace. God's plan brings healing. He evens the score. Amen? Many times God has rescued Israel and evened the score. And he's going to even the score again with Israel. It may seem disastrous, but he's going to even the score. He's going to change out the regimes and put his servants in. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45. Oh, we all know the story of David and Goliath. Talk about against all odds. In verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Was he following the plan? You betcha. "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put in his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they booked. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sharam, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Now, David defeated the Philistine. Odds were against him, weren't they? And the natural, I mean, nobody, think about this. The whole army of Israel, nobody would stand up to the Philistine. Because he was big, everybody looked at him physically. I mean, he was huge. They probably couldn't even pick up his sword or a shield or whatever. But David wasn't going out there looking at how big he was. He wasn't going out there because they tried to put armor on him and he had to take it off. He said, "No, that's not. I've got to obey the Lord. With God's plan, I'll destroy every giant that comes against me. Because of God before me, who can be against me?" So he followed the plan of the Lord. God trained David up for years just for this moment. Think about that. He wrestled with lions. He wrestled because they tried to steal his sheep. He killed many animals with the stone and the sling. So what was the giant? Nothing but another animal. Amen. But God trained him up, and because David was obedient to be trained up, he was able to overcome. God evened the score for him. And everything changed in Israel, didn't it? Everything changed. David became king down the road, had offspring, brought in the covenant. Everything changed. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, do not what? Lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? Because it's training us. While we do not look at the things which are what? Seen, like Goliath and stuff like that. But at the things which are what? Not seen. We're looking at end results. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. A light affliction is working for you. Psalm 103, starting at verse 1. Bless the Lord, all my soul. How do you bless the Lord? Praise and worship. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits. So if you don't forget his if you forget his benefits, is that according to his plan? No. So remembering his benefits is according to his plan. If you follow the plan, what happens? He evens the score. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Forget not his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I love that. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because we follow the plan. You follow. Don't forget the benefits. Why? It's a part of the plan, isn't it? Now, there's always a fight between man's plan and God's plan. That's where you'll have to discern what is of God and what is not of God. And that's where you have to be careful. Because pride always protects the plan of man. But humbleness and humility will promote the plan of God. Matthew 19, verse 23. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who can then be saved?" They thought that the odds were what? Against them. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are what? All things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But as many who are first will be last, and the last first." Oh. 2 Timothy 3 in verse 10. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord what? Delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned." Hello? In other words, in the plan. You must continue in the plan of God, which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Jesus evens the score with his plan. Luke 8, verse 9. Then the disciples asked Jesus, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said to them, "To you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Think about this. For me and you, we've been given to know the mysteries of God. Why? Through the Spirit of God, who searches the deep things of God. We know the mysteries of God. We know the things of God. The world doesn't. The odds are against them. But for me and you that know the mysteries of God and the plans for escape, the score is even. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So they're going to stay in that state until they follow what? The plan. We know the mysteries of God. The deep things of God. Wow. That brings us ahead of the enemy. The Bible says the anointing teaches us and we know all things. That gives us an advantage. The Spirit tells us things to come. That gives us an advantage. We have the advantage over the enemy. And even though when it seems to be all the odds are against you, you still have the advantage. Psalm 149, in verse 5. Against all odds. Not with my Lord. Praise God. He evens the score all the time and gives us the advantage. Verse 5. Let's speak it. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them what? Sing aloud on their beds. Well, thank God we ain't singing in bed. I mean, it's good to start that way. But we gather together. We don't bring our beds with us. Amen. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the what? Written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Talk about turning things around. The odds are against them. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll close here. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, that he sees it all and knows it all, and he will even the score. Even when all odds seem to be against you, no matter what persecutions you're going to, no matter what your family says, no matter what your boss says, no matter what's going on in your life, it doesn't matter. No matter where your children are, it doesn't matter. You stay in where you're supposed to be, and God will even the score. Amen? And take your little paws out of everything that that's hindering the score to be evened. Amen? Because if you put your hands in it, his hands are taken out. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Hallelujah. Lord, you even the score that we could have victory and abundance and overflow because your peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit shall be manifested wherever we go in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.